Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, and returnee Mr. Julian Fearn. He has graced us with his presence after having a week off. He's returned, he's refreshed, he's energised, he's ready to go. You're only back, I assume, because you heard how good last week was and you want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
am I right?
I absolutely agree. And also about the politics. I want you to be here tonight, the breaking news, you know, whether it's going to be politics or Leighton Orient. And I think the nation...
What, Leighton Orient?
Absolutely.
It's O's all the way. Well, we are talking with the E10 Mess podcast. We're going to be looking at the game on the weekend, the 1-1 draw. I won't say your rivals, but it was a game you wanted to win. It was 1-1 there. But there was a victory last night, 2-0 against Southend in the EFL Trophy, which has now got the rather delicious name of the Leasing.com Cup this year. So we'll go with that, or EFL Trophy. Much easier to say, but we're going to be talking all about that. Delighted to say we'll also be talking to Shane Tudor, the ex-Orient player, and also talking to Johnny Leafield from the Swindon Advertiser about Leighton Orient's game this weekend, because it may be international break, but oh no, not for the O's, not for the football in League Two. That's the real football. I'll be honest, I don't really care about the Euro qualifier. It's all about football down in League Two, am I right?
Exactly. No, absolutely no doubt.
Well, why shouldn't it be, really?
Why shouldn't it be? There we go. We have to start then with the 1-1 draw up at Salford. Julian, did you go?
No, I wasn't very well the weekend, but I was listening to it on live and sort of following Twitter. I think, again, talking to a lot of people, did go and sort of give me some feedback, because I wouldn't want to come here looking absolutely stupid in front of you guys. But I think we just did what we do really well. Set up in the first half and look like we don't know each other, and go, Ross has got a team out there thinking, you know what's going on here? You know, the way they were playing in comparison to previous games, but then the reflection, we were talking about it earlier, is that how we were at Mansfield, you know, the first half, conceded two goals, didn't quite know what we were doing, and then the second half come out and flew out the traps and took the game by the scruff of the neck and absolutely sort of took control and took 650 O's fans out there, which is fabulous for a long trip up north on a fairly wet day, I think it was.
It's all well and good, Rob, isn't it? Taking the game by the scruff of the neck in the second half, you know, and sort of trying to go for it. But you don't want to be in a position where you have to go for it, because you are 1-0 down. And the goal that you conceded from the throw-in, to me, it just seemed like, I don't know, was everyone, you're saying 650 fans, were they all trying to work out what was going on there? Because everyone switched off. No one was paying attention to the throw-in.
It was a good
they?
Flight, though, wasn't it? He did well. I think he took the ball with a good distance on it. I think that our defence was going, that's really good. I like that. And watched it go over, and then
but where was everyone? It was like everyone took a minute off and was wondering what the half-time oranges were going to be. It was just terrible for that 1 minute, Rob. What happened there? The defence... I don't want it to be a theme of the show, but we are talking always about Orient, some of the goals, the going forward, the potential they have. But at the back, very vulnerable and very suspect, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just that statuesque defending again. I mean, it's just happened quite a few times in the last few weeks. And as soon as he's just let the ball bounce a couple of times, he's finished it well, but they all sort of turn around and blaming each other as to who was picking up who. I mean, it's just have a look around you. I mean, absolutely no one was moving, and made it very, very easy for them.
But you've got to think about the finish in this league compared to sort of the National League. In the National League, we've probably had similar situations where our lads will get us out of trouble because the striker's not overly great. And I think on Saturday, the guy who struck, you know, the ball was perfect. You know, we just looked very suspect. And even later on in the game, where I think Adam Rooney had a couple of opportunities, one offside, didn't he? Offside, and then the one was out to the right of the goal and pinged it back across, just taking control. You know, the strong, good strikers. I know effectively we played this guy last season. The guy scored. They bought him, or got him on from Brighton, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So. Good calibre of player. So we have to wise up. And I think the last couple of games, we've been a little bit out of sorts with our defence. And I think, again, we're sort of playing centre-backs at right, a left-back, and because of injury. But reality is, I think we go forward a few days. And last night, Superb, you know, a couple of young lads out there, and that's what, for a fan, or obviously a young lad, get out there, throw his heart at it, and really, really give 110%, and someone being a little bit slapdash. But saying that, the guy I was sort of referring to from last night, solid in the centre half, was Dan Happ, who probably not naturally, he's not a natural left back, so. That's my opinion on that one, really.
Yeah, and I think we spoke about it before, about some of these players have played in League 2 before, so there's not really a step up that it shouldn't be beyond them. I mean, they've been at that level before, so I don't think there is good really point. Any excuses for
Well, this is the point I was going to ask you. When do you... not? I don't think you are making excuses, Julian, but we do say a lot, well, you know, it is a step up and, you know, teams are going to take more of their chances. But Leighton Orient are in this division as well. When do we stop saying, oh, it's a step up? Because ultimately, Salford weren't in the division last year as well. So we should know about that. When do we cut out those mistakes?
Yeah, agree. Talking about the Salford game, they've bought well over the summer as well. So let's get to reality here, that they've brought in some good league players. Yes, they were in the National League with us, but reality is, I think we have to step up. It is different than the National League, but reality more for us now is that going forward, we're playing teams that have been in the National League, in the Football League for a number of years, and they've got their consistency. And we're starting to get that form. We're ticking well, so I'm not sitting here diluted, but reality is, I think Rossi's realised that the five at the back is not working, and the referral back to 4-3-3 or 4-4-2 or whatever number the combination set for five at the back is playing.
Well, do you make Rob right? Do you make Julian right? You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio, or call us or WhatsApp us on 0208 7020 558. We have already had one tweet in, San. I would ask a question, but you won't answer it. Well, we've read this out, so if you do tweet us the question, we might just actually answer it, depending if we can answer it, but we're going to try it. So please tweet
not
us
politics,
in.
What, though, yeah, is it?
WhatsApp us any Leighton Orient based questions. Let's carry on talking about that game, because you did manage to get an 87th minute equaliser, although it was probably the best own goal I've seen in a long, long time.
Deja vu as well. It's exactly the same minute as last season when we snatched an equaliser with a Ropio goal. And this was an absolute belter. I mean, he's took it brilliantly, isn't he, really?
Absolute finish. I mean, they've got him in the wrong position.
Instinctive.
What a finish.
Absolutely instinctive.
Clinical.
I thought he was going to pop up and have a spin on his head as well. Yeah. He was getting a nice movement on the floor. So
I particularly enjoyed Matt Arrell trying to claim it.
A strange one. Some say the keeper was deflated after scoring that goal. To me, he looked elated. He was, you know, fists on the floor. He was delighted. Look at him. He can't believe he's scored a worldie of that magnitude. No keeper was saving that, especially not himself. He just knew where to put it. But it did take to the 87th minute to get that equaliser. Were you always confident that you could get that equaliser and get a point there?
Second half, definitely, is sort of how the team sort of lined up second half, and the enthusiasm, the gumption they play with. So, yeah, I'm always comfortable that if we don't throw a game away, we'll always get something out of the game. And that was last season under Justin, 100%. This year now, I'm starting to get a little bit more confident with the squad, because it is the same squad as last year. They've not got bad players over the summer. So I'm very confident that long as we're in the game, yeah, and it's go back to Mansfield, two down. And I was in confidence. I wasn't actually. I was talking about KFC on the way home, but that was another story. But reality is, we got that back. You know, we pulled that one, as we were talking earlier, we pulled that first one back, then actually could go on and win the game. And that's the bit I think I love about Orient this season and last season.
Well, I think that obviously another theme from Leighton Orient season, in some games, quite slow starting. We mentioned about the Mansfield game, then the coming back, and then obviously the 1-1 on the weekend. Is this becoming a theme? Does Orient just feel like it takes them a while to get a foothold in the game?
Yeah, it's been that way, really. I think it's the opposite of last season, where it didn't happen too often. We had that fighting spirit, so when we did go behind and things were against us, we did just get the job done. And it's good to see that is remaining, and despite the problems we're getting ourselves into, we are able to get out of them. But that's the difference between 1 point and 3 points. I mean, if you're 1-0 down, you probably take a point at that point. If you're on the front foot and you get the early goal and go on from there, then you're looking at 3 points. So that's the difference of obviously getting the one or the three and where you go in the table, really.
So you go back to last season, we would not conceding in the first half, we were lock up shop. This season we're not doing that bit, and that's the bit I think we need to get in there. Justin always said, come in at half time 0-0, yeah, it's all in your hands in the second half. We're making it hard for ourselves. We're coming in sometimes below the curve, you know, or behind the curve, then having to push hard and go for the win. So no, I'm absolutely confident we'll continue in this vein. As I said a couple of weeks ago, we've got to give Ross 10 games. Yeah, we've got four more. to see whether it is definitely sort of improving and putting the steel in the back of the side. But I'm confident that we'll keep progressing.
Well, it has been an indifferent start being back in the Football League, life in League Two. Six games, you know, in August they do come thick and fast. 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2. So it's very even there. But is this kind of, if you would have said, you know, we've been speaking for a few weeks now, we've just started September, would you have taken that 8 points from six games? Were you relatively pleased with that? Or you think there's a few points we've left out there?
For me personally, I'm happy with it. I think the only game I was embarrassed to be a bit of a nose fan was at Macclesfield. That was disappointing, yeah. And I think, yeah.
It was a bad away result there.
Yeah, and sort of the loss at home gets Crawley, where we play so well, and to throw that away 3-2. But I'm not as disappointed because we played good football. Yeah, and so that as an Oaks fan, we want our team to play good football because we pay our money. You want to see people pull on the shirt and go out there and showcase what a good, great club we are. I'm delighted really where we are.
Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, same. I think if you look at it just purely on points, I think you'll take that. And I think if you look at the performances as a whole, probably 3 points drop between the two home games against Stevenage and Crawley. Probably should have got 2 more against Stevenage, should have got a draw against Crawley. And then you're right up there then. So I think if you look at it based on points and performances, I'm content, yeah.
Are the performances worrying you? I don't want to say worrying you, more concerning than the points at the minute, because although you talked about there has been some great games, there has been some moments where Orient haven't looked great, and we still don't really know what Orient we're going to get each and every Saturday, do we?
Agree. I think, as I say, there's a couple of games where you look as a fan and go, do they actually know each other? What they've been doing all week. And that's never been the case over the last 18 months after, under Justin. So we got to let Ross put his stamp on the side, which I think he's starting to do. And you think, like, it still concerns me. And it's just from a managerial point of view, I was quite close to the dugout last night. And they're still managing by committee and any successful business, yes, there is a committee of people and make the decisions, but there's ultimate one person at the top of that, and I would like to see Ross probably come out of that and be a little bit stronger and saying, it's my side, yeah, my decisions, I take the highs, I take the lows, and allow the guys to have their influence, but not make the final decisions.
But by design, wasn't it meant to be a little bit by committee this summer after obviously tragically what happened to Justin? You know, everyone was sort of going to muck in Joby, Ross, wasn't it a little bit by design?
Just a role, yeah, like anything. You've got interim manager, interim coach, interim assistant manager, so there's a manager, there's a assistant manager, and there's a coach. There's a hierarchy, and I think they need to sort of follow that, because I think that's where then you can see that Ross is now putting his stamp on the club. Is the stamp coming out as a three-ball stamp, or is it Ross's stamp? We don't know, but reality is we'll know more and more as we progress through the season.
Well, someone who may know a little bit more next, we're going to be talking to Shane Tudor, ex-Orient player.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, returning Julian Fern and Rob Edwards in the studio. Gutted, no Adam Sampson, and the knowledge Brendan Pitcher are not here tonight, but the show must go on. As always, we've talked a little bit about the game 1-1 on the weekend to Salford. Now, though, delighted to say Shane Tudor joins us on the line, ex-Orient player. Shane, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. 66 appearances for the O's. How pleased are you that they're back in League Two and the start they've made this year?
Yes. First of all, good evening, guys. It's been a steady start. You know, you look at, they come up against, I think, Swindon on the weekend. If they've turned those draws or defeats into another win, they've been right up there in the playoffs. You know, it's been steady. It's been nothing brilliant as such, you know, if I'm being honest. But it's steady, and it gives them a platform then to go on and to try and get in those playoffs, you know, moving forward.
Hi, Shane. Obviously, talking about sort of steady performances and such, what we've noticed, particularly in the game against Salford, we looked like a team that had never met each other in the first half and then came out a completely different animal. So obviously being in a changing room, what is it you think that just turns that around in the changing room? Is it the hairdryer? Is it the arm around the shoulder? Or is it just a few sort of home truths between you?
It can be a collection of things, you know. You know, sometimes certain players, you know, need an arm around. Sometimes they need to kick up the backside as such. Sometimes, you know, you get there and things don't happen 45 minutes and suddenly, you know, things turn around. You know, it might be a mistake by the opposition. suddenly the ball breaks. So the winger might beat his man across the ball. You know, it's a collection of things, you know. But sometimes, you know, the manager needs to give the air-dry treatment, as you say. And sometimes, you know, that the team comes out as a different animal in the second half. But, you know, I think the old-fashioned ways of launching cups and all the rest of it, you know, John Beck style and so on, I think it's out the window. I think it's more calm and collective and sitting down and talking to each other. I think the old days of ranting and raving seem to have disappeared.
Shane, we sort of mentioned quite a bit on the show about formation for the O's this season. We debate the five at the back, yeah, so we feel it sort of strangles our width. And naturally, O's have always had good wingers, ones on the phone. And for us, is that sort of in our current crop of players where we got sort of Brophy, JMD, Dayton, Louis Dennis, and our captain and our leader, Joby. What's your opinion on formation as a natural winger? Do you feel more comfortable playing really wide, or if you was asked to play in that sort of weird formation at sort of as a wing back, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it can have a massive part, to be honest. You look at Sterling and Man City play. Sterling never tucks in; he's always wide. He'll come in and drift off the line and make a trip, run, you know, in behind the inside of the fullback, but. You know, I've been to watch Man City a few times. You know, the wingers stay wide. They don't tuck in. They don't, you know, track into that. You know, the role as they always say, you know, you follow the midfielder inside. He stays out wide and they look for him. When I played out there, you know, I was fortunate. We had Matthew Lockwood who could ping the ball as well as any left back, you know, outside the Premier League. So you could stay out there and he did, yeah. And, you know, it gives you that momentum. Then you're one-on-one with your fullback rather than, you know, you're playing inside as a three, you know, as a winger, it's frustrating because you're picking up the ball inside. You know, generally you're playing the ball off the front man or playing inside again. You never really receive the ball where every winger wants to receive it, one-on-one going against his fullback.
So also that we sort of noticed this year, last year we had Joby for majority of the season on the pitch and he's played out wide, he played in the middle. And for us, you think for someone like that with that experience, that characteristics that Joby has throughout his career, do you think the club's missing that at the moment, missing him on the pitch?
Yeah, massively. You know, when somebody offers a threat and suddenly it disappears, you know, it's something as a go-to in games. You know, I remember when I was out there at certain times, if you was playing well for five or six games, I'd look for you. Matty Lockwood would always hit that ball out there because, you know, at the time, you was probably the main threat or a danger. So that's what they look to. And you can't sometimes replace pace. That's a big factor again. So sometimes you take pace out of the team. And when you're away from home, you look to counter-attack. And so it's just the same as you look at the best teams, Man City. You take Sterling out of Man City's team or Mane out of Liverpool's team and Salah, they're completely different teams, you know. So if you haven't got that set going in behind as wingers, it changes the dynamics of a team completely.
I think from what you've seen so far of Orient and in the early stage of the season and any other kind of teams in our division, where do you think we sit in terms of sort of promotion challenge, playoff challenge? I think bearing in mind we still have sort of three or four players to come back from injury that will probably feel like new signings with the likes of Turley and Dayton. Where do you see us in terms of the rest of the league at the moment?
I think the massive part of it all depends on your strikers. Can the strikers go in and score goals? Every team that, whether that be in the Premier League or whether that be a team in League Two that gets promoted or does well, they need strikers or a striker that scores a lot of goals, whether that be one who scores 25, 30 goals or a collection of a couple of strikers and wingers joining in, you know. So can the strikers score goals and can they stay fit, you know? And if you can get your strikers firing and scoring goals, then you've got every chance. Then obviously it's down to the midfielders, but also you need a bit of luck. You know, I've been in teams in the past where, you know, we should have got promoted, you know, and easily promoted, but you lose three or four key players and then suddenly your team changes around. You know, you talk about a winger missing for a period of time. Suddenly he comes back and, you know, they're going to run a five or six games on a winning run. Suddenly it changes around. So if they get the strikers scoring goals, which they need to, then there's every chance, you know, I think everybody would be happy if they can finish in that playoff positions.
Yeah, another thing from last night, we played Sunday Southend and beat them 2-0 in the cup. In the second half, late on in the second half, we brought Lee Angle on, who's one of our new strikers. He's replaced Macaulay Bond. He's really a great talent, and it's lovely to watch. And he was playing out wide on the left on the 4-3-3, and he's playing wide on the left, and he terrorizes the teams. He did the same at Mansfield, and naturally he is a centre forward, but I think because he's so naturally left footed and I'm very very good in the ball. Do you sometimes as a wide player, where we've got Louis Dennis, that you can be a wide player or a player up front, would a player of your calibre who is very good on the ball, who likes to be out wide and go past players, and if he's asked to come a little bit more inside, more central, is that something you feel comfortable with as a player, or very much you just want to stay where you feel you're naturally fit?
No, I think everyone's different, you know. It didn't really bother me whether I played left, right, or, you know, played centre midfield or behind the front man, off the front man. It didn't really bother me as such, you know. I think it's having that freedom, and I think sometimes it's the confidence from a manager that you know you're going to play the next game, you know, for a young lad coming in, being allowed to make mistakes, being allowed to go past players, but also, you know, a nightmare for half an hour, 45 minutes where you keep losing the ball, but no, the manager's still going to back in everybody else's for the next time you get the ball, so you're going to beat your man, you're going to score that goal, because a young guy just difficult, you know, but I think sometimes you need that confidence and the backing from your manager. I think we talk about half-time, you know, the air-dry treatments and all the rest of it, but I think times have changed now. Sometimes players just need to be reminded that they are good players and they've got the back and they can go out there and express themselves.
Shane, 6 games in for Leyton Orient, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats. Realistically, what can Orient achieve this year? What should their expectations be?
Expectations should be playoffs, and it should be minimum of the playoffs. People say they should try and cement themselves in back in at that level, but you know, you want to aim higher than that. You know, I don't think the league's massively strong. I think if you can get your strikers scoring goals, you know, and one or two of the younger players who we've spoken about can progress and score goals, you know, not just go past players but start scoring goals, then there's every chance that, you know, you can be up and around that class. And then, you know, after Christmas time, you can bring players in on loan. And we talk about that again, you know, if you can get one or two players in from Premier League clubs, you know, on loan, and one or two of those hit the ground running, then, you know, that gives you the momentum then going into the final push to get in the playoffs.
Shane, thank you for joining us. Shane Tudor there. We really appreciate you coming on and giving us some time. Thank you for that. Shane Tudor, ex-Orient player. He said the expectations have to be playoffs. Do you two agree, Julian? You wasn't so sure when he said that. I feel like you just want to find your foot in this year back in the Football League.
I think for us, it's getting back to reality. And whether playoffs, mid-table, above the bottom, a couple are going down. I'd rather give ourselves the opportunity to build and go again. I think what Shane was saying is quite right. I think if we can keep our powder dry up to Christmas and then go back into the sort of the loan market and get a couple of superstars in like we have in the past in previous regimes, and they helped us push on. You know, Kevin Campbell was one I remember.
Before my time, that.
Was he? Yeah, okay, I'll shut up then. Yeah, and we'll talk about a little bit more. So you've got Harry Kane and people like that who've come in and done a good job for us. And we saw George Marsh play for the first time last night out from Spurs, so he's with us until Christmas, isn't it, January, I think. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of him. Not quite sure whether he fits the Orient style, and that's because it's lower down the peg. But as I said this a couple of weeks ago, the way he warms up, the way he holds himself like a Premiership player, that he's trained and with class, other class players. I'm not saying our players are not class, by the way, if anyone's listening, but you can just tell it. He's come from a Premiership club, and I just think for me, get through this season because of what's gone on. If we were where we were,
so many other factors,
that's right.
Aren't there?
That's the biggest one for us. If we were in the place where we were the back end of last year with the same regime, same management, I'd be going playoffs as a minimum. I would want to do. We talked about Lincoln and some of those other Tranmere and people like that. That's where I think my expectations. But reality is, we've got to just get comfortable with Ross, comfortable with the regime, comfortable with the current structure.
Rob, where do your expectations lie? Do you agree with Shane? Do you agree with Julian? Or you have a completely different expectation?
Yeah, I think it's an ambition to be in the playoffs. I don't think it's necessarily an expectation. I think with what's we've said about every week what's gone on. I think it's not a massively strong division, but there's some good teams in there, and there's no reason why we can't be up and around them. But yeah, for me, it'll be nice to be in there, but it's definitely not expected for us to be up there. I think a lot of it depends on what we do in January, whether the strikers do start firing and the young players continue to do well. There's a lot of variables, but for me, I'd be happy with a 12th place finish.
Rob, is there a case sometimes you can get almost that double promotion? It can happen too quickly for a club. You know, let's find our foot and let's build a foundation in League Two. You know, let's become the team that we can here. It's all right if we have 1 or 2 years here, then go up to League One, because when you can accelerate through the leagues very quickly and then it doesn't work out in League One, you can come back down just as quick, can't you? And that is a concern.
Well, it happened with Yeovil. I mean, they went up to the Championship 4 or 5 years ago, and now they're back in the National League. So it does sound silly, but you can kind of go up a little bit too quickly, not be prepared for the next level. So I think we'll probably go that way. I think, talking to Kent last week, he's got a plan of kind of
the five-year plan to get to their level
and then push on again. So yeah, I think we're in a good place.
I think that's the difference between something like a Yeovil and us. I think we've got some good ownership. I hope and pray they'll be around for 5 years plus, you know, and they've got the club at heart and how they take us forward. And that's what's really interested me, because I think Kent doesn't sit there and say sort of words just because the press or someone in a radio show has asked him. They mean something to him, you know. He's a driven guy, and I don't think he's going to add his name to something which is not going to be successful. So I'm really hoping we do see the fruits of that.
Speaking to Kent Teague there, you can listen to that on Catch Up on the E10 Mess podcast that was on Love Sport Radio. Brilliant to hear from Kent Teague there. Next, we're going to be looking at Leighton Orient's brilliant victory against Southend last night. Love Sport. You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say in the studio, the E10 Mess podcast, returning Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. We are without big time Brendan Pitchard this week and Adam Sampson. But now, though, we have to talk about the game last night. We have looked about the disappointing 1-1 draw on the weekend, but we are talking about beating Southend 2-0 in the EFL Leasing.com Cup trophy last night. A great victory. Ross, he did change his side. He said it was a great chance for him to bleed in the youngsters, give those an opportunity to play, players that are knocking on the door. And then this is what happens, 2-0 victory. Those players could maybe see themselves in the league team. How pleased were you with the youngsters last night, Julian?
Yeah, I think we, Ross, and the club, the history's got a bleeding good young players through and who go on and progress. We talk about Shadrach, the left-back, absolutely a phenomenal game. And we're talking earlier, and my opinion, I think we had a good side out there, and he was probably our weakest link, but he was really good. So that tells you how good the whole side were. One player I was really impressed with last night, and I think he's just becoming an absolute legend in his own right, is Dan Happ, centre-half. Composed, looks like a pro. He looks like he's been playing the game a long while. Very intelligent, very good on the ball, very good leader at the back, sort of helping with Shadrach at times, where Shadrach got a little bit lost, you know, just getting him out of trouble. But saying that, though, Shadrach got himself out of trouble a number of times, and I was really impressed with his debut. But then you look across the rest of the side, we had young Marsh from Spurs in the midfield. So he started well. He's got busy. Again, I think he needs a few more games. I think he's just a little bit sort of behind the line with fitness. But then we played with a familiar lots of players, and I think we all got an opinion on Dale Gorman. I think a lot of people would have said Dale Gorman is probably our weakest midfielder. But again, scored, got busy, got a player sent off. What else do you want from your centre midfielder?
a full 90-minute workout. Ross reserves special praise for Sam Sargent, and he said he's a player that's really patiently waited for his chances. Played last night. Were you impressed with him, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, he's made two top class slaves, really, especially not being overly busy during the game. As he said in his interview after, you got to keep switched on. That's a sign of a good goal. If you're not massively overworked, you need to keep your focus and not just do the easy things but do the difficult things well. And now he's gone 160 165 minutes without conceding a goal in the games he's come on. So I mean, you can do no better as a goalkeeper, and then just take your chances when you're called upon, really.
Progression in the cup is always a great thing. You know, you can it brings money. It's great from a business side, you know, attendances, home games, and the money, the prize money that comes with it. But not only that, if you bleed in the youngsters and they win, and then you get another game, those players can play again. It's another chance to stake another claim. This is what it can do, and also it can bring momentum when a side is maybe struggling in the league. It, you know, we do know a cup run can have a detrimental effect, but it brings some positive momentum to the main team, can't it, Rob?
Yeah, I think it gives players the opportunity to go out and people that we knock on the door and give them 90 minutes and let the first team players know that they're there. I think I'm delighted for Shadrick to get 90 minutes. Frustrating for him last season, but I think it shows you how much they think of him. They persevered with him until he got his international clearance and couldn't play for the first sort of 6-9 months of the season. So it shows you they think highly of him. It was good to see him out there. And
Where did he go on loan last year? He did really well. Was that
Bishop Stortford?
Well, yeah, it was.
National League South. So I think it shows you how much they rate him. So hopefully he'll get a bit more game time. And yeah, going back to Gorman, I think he's obviously had a good game last night. But as we said earlier, I just don't think he's ever really had a good game when it really matters. I think he's very hit and miss. I still think he's our weakest midfielder by a way. And I think we should reserve special mention for James Alabi, who I think he was...
What would the special mention be, though?
I think just outrageous, beyond science miss, where he's kind of collided with the post and still managed to find the keeper. It was just unbelievable.
Special mention.
It was but incredible.
Going back to Shadrack, I think for me, I think we've all been crying out as fans for someone to put Joe Widdowson under a bit of pressure, you know, because Joe was probably the second name on the team sheet all last year. And naturally, a left back position. I think now with Shadrack there, and you would feel comfortable if the lineup Saturday came out, Shadrack was at left back. If you think, well, okay, but you know he'll do a good job, you know, and because the management team believe in him, and I think they will go out there with that confidence.
I want to mention now, saying a side note of the game, you know, maybe the attendance, fans possibly boycotting, low attendances. We know the games of the EFL Trophy or whatever they're now titled are never going to be as attractive as league games. But is this a worry, Julian?
Yeah, I got a personal opinion, and I'd probably get shot down by people on Twitter. But my opinion is that, yes, there's money going back in the EFL pocket. You know, we can talk about the demise of Bury. We can talk about our own demise, potentially, and Blackpool, et cetera, et cetera. But reality is the club has to put on the game. They have to pay the stewards. They have to pay the catering staff. They have to pay put the lights on. They have to pay the players. And I think if we all go, you know what, two fingers up at the EFL, the reality is our club's footing that bill. So if we can make sure at least we get a break even at a home game, that to me, and I think the players deserve that as well, because if the players see that we will go out rain or shine, you know, home or away, and support them, and which we did in big numbers again on Saturday at Salford, I just think for the players, my opinion is I wouldn't go away. I wouldn't go and sort of watch us play away and feed someone else's pocket, but reality is my when we play at home, I want to make sure I'm there every game, because I think the players deserve that, and I think it's the right thing to do.
I agree, and I think it's a very valid point you raise. But maybe from the flip side, another perspective of a fan is, you know, it's the League Cup, it's the EFL Trophy, it's the home games, it's more money, is it? If you're taking kids and families, it not maybe there is discounted prices, but it's still an expensive day out football, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're very much discounted last night. So I think, yes, if you've got a big family, you appreciate that. It's sort of even £4 is sometimes a struggle. But reality is, I think the money, the gates were very low regards to cost. And I think it was value for money. And I think, look, to see your team win 2-0, going back to what you're saying, seeing those younger players, and we can have an informed conversation about them, instead of going, oh, yeah, I've seen them on the list of players that play for Orient, but they're out on loan at Braintree or wherever they are. You actually can see them in the flesh, putting an O shirt on and putting a shift in. So I think, and that again helps them. And if we can do it as a collective, we talk about the Orient family. And I think we should encourage people, especially at the home games.
Well, do you agree with Julian? You can call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp on the same number. Rob, do you agree with what Julian is saying? And also, would you class it then as a boycott?
I think whether you class it as a boycott is kind of dependent on your views and circumstances. Some people don't go because it is a monetary thing. Some people don't go because it's midweek. I mean, other commitments. For me, it's just a game of football. I mean, I want to watch my team play football, and it's a competitive game. It's not It's not a friendly. It gives the opportunity to play some of the squad players and some of the young players. So for me, I'm for Orient playing games against teams in high divisions and keeps everyone else on their toes, really. And it's always nice to beat Southend in anything. So we'll definitely take that.
Definitely take it. 2-0. You did beat Southend. I speak to a lot of the fan shows. It's been, last week was the League Cup, and a lot of fans, I was a bit surprised, say, don't care about the League Cup, all about the league, all about the league. You have another trophy to contend with, the EFL trophy. Where do you stand on it? How far really do you want Leighton Orient to progress? Or is it like, we just need to be concentrating on League Two? It's another cup. I'm not that fussed.
I think last year that the club and under Justin were saying, every game we play, we want to win. Yeah, so what a great attitude to have. I think as a fan, you don't want to be going to a game and think, oh, the team don't really care. You know, we could lose, win, lose, or draw. So I think we should just go out and turn out the best side, put on the best performance. And we are fickle fans, you know, we've all got the opinion about X, Y, Z. But reality is, as you said, we want to see good football. We want to see the young players develop. We just want to watch our club. And as long as they go out there, pull a shirt on, don't remember they're the same teammates and not forgetting they're playing with, you know, and put on a performance, I'm really pleased with that. And cup competitions are as good as long as they last. But reality is, the league is the bit that's really important for any club.
The league is the bread and butter. All right, well, that brings us now to a very special section. It is time for hashtag Orient Weird. Rob, you can kick us off this week. What is your Orient Weird?
I particularly enjoyed the sticker of Mother Teresa on the central line declaring her love for the O's. I very much enjoyed that. We all knew it deep down anyway, so yeah. It's nice to get that reaffirmed
She mentioned it a few times over the years. Yeah. And I think the one thing I like about sort of some of our Orient fans and the stickers, you see some stickers in weird places and great stickers. And that investment, you know, that's someone's got to go and create that, pay for it to be created, then spend the hour and many hours they do in weird places around the globe sticking it up. And the Orient Weird for me is not the weird with regards to the actual incident as such. James Larry last night, and if anyone, the Orient fans, have seen it online, was at the game like I was last night, would have seen him throw his body in the way of a long goal, a header from Harold, and end up sort of sent over for the goalkeeper to catch. I was coming here tonight, was just checking up on Twitter and noticed that the Mail Online had a piece on it today about James Alabi and some of the fans' feedback. I'm saying that's amazing. I think James Alabi's never had his details in any national press, and to have that in the Mail Online today and take up quite a big piece about it. It's reached the wider footprint of the football community. So that was a bit odd for me. Reality is, I think there's some odd, weird things I think we see hourly, daily on Twitter. I think good thing about Twitter for us, and I love the people's opinions, you know, and people are very vocal about what they believe
in. Certainly not shy on Twitter.
Not shy. All behind that hashtag. But reality is, I think that's good, because that breeds discussion, does it? That breeds that us as fans, as football generally, have an opinion, and whether it's right or wrong. But there are some odd people out there who have some odd opinions.
There certainly are, but we only care for the O's opinions. And next, we are talking about the game on the weekend versus Swindon. And I'm delighted to say we'll be joined by Johnny Leafield from the Swindon Advertiser.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, returning Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. We have looked at the game on the weekend, the 2-0 victory against Southend last night for progression in the EFL Trophy. We were delighted to speak to Shane Tudor, ex-Orient player earlier. But now, though, we have to turn our eyes, our attention, our focus to the game on the weekend. Orient are playing Swindon. I'm delighted to say, joining us on the phone now, Johnny Leafield. Johnny, thank you for giving us some time. We appreciate you coming on from the Swindon Advertiser. Massive game this weekend, Orient versus Swindon. It may be an international break for others, but the real football continues. What do you make of the game on the weekend?
Hi, lovely to be on. I think that it's another, as far as the Swindon sort of perspective goes, it's another step towards kind of keeping the positive momentum going. Things have been going really well at the start. Even if the results haven't come, the performances for the most part have been excellent, really. I think most people of a Swindon persuasion are fairly confident this weekend, if that's probably put the muckers on them now. But I think obviously Orient have started out you know, kind of hit and miss and I think Swindon will be confident of continuing their decent away form.
Well, albeit it is six games, but Swindon are in the playoffs, 11 points from those six games. But the form has been a little bit indifferent, just like Leighton Orient. I mean, they've gone, they won their last one, then they drew, then they lost, then they drew, then they won. So they're struggling with a little bit of consistency themselves. I know you want to continue that feel-good momentum and stay in the playoffs, but is this a tricky tie on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of, they've had, well, they had Checkatrade, League Cup. And like I said, it's one of those where the results haven't always, the results haven't always shown the kind of full perspective of the game. They played really well, for instance, at Exeter. They went down there and were probably they were the better team for, 70 odd minutes, and Exeter are sort of tipped to be up there. So that was a really good, example of what they can do away. I think, yeah, like you said, this game this weekend against Orient, it's always the biggest cliche in football. It is a very difficult place to go. So I think if the big players, particularly going forward, stand up and are counted and they can keep a clean sheet, then there's no reason why they won't come away with a positive result.
Hi, Johnny. So obviously talking about the form, I think they're Swindon looking pretty good up in the sort of top five or six. With the recruitment you've done during the summer, it looks like you've taken on a few good players. Do you think, is automatic promotion kind of a must, really? Is it expected that you're going to be in that top three?
I don't know. Is it a must? Potentially. I think the feeling around the place at the moment is they've got a good chance. Particularly with the players, like I said, the forward players that they've signed, obviously Doyle and Yates. Owen Doyle appears to be an unbelievable pickup, as does Jordan Lydon. They got him on a free. He was released from Aston Villa in central midfield, and he just looks like he's got so much time on the ball. He looks like he is a player that can play certainly at least a step up. So I would say that the recruitment, yeah, going forward has been unbelievable. With the likes of Lloyd Isgrove on the right as well. It's defensively they look pretty solid, but not, Orient will have a chance. They will, we'll certainly give them chances. Just a case of whether they can sort of produce the type of performance that they did away at Scunthorpe, where they kept a clean sheet and sort of limited Scunthorpe to not a lot, or they it sort of turns like a bit of a Colchester, where they just were getting split open for fun, kind of near the end, especially.
So we see Saturday. Sort of, we was talking about this earlier. That sort of the Swindon Orient sort of relationship. There's players that play for us now. Used to play for you with James Brothy. Our management team with Ross used to be assistant manager at your place, and Lingy played for you for sort of 152 odd games in the past, and sort of managed you for a short period of time. And also, I look in sort of your players. You've got Bowdrey there now, haven't you? Matthew, old Frenchie.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
He was loved at the Orient when he was with us. So if he's playing, he'll get a big welcome. And also, when we're looking at your back room, I didn't realise Ben Chorley is now sort of your chief scout. So another XO as well. And I just think there's some nice synergies there, and I think we you're bringing a big contingent down the M4 for Saturday, which is really nice to see for us, because in the National League for a couple of years, the way support's not as good as we see in the Football League, and that's really nice. I think again, like our opening game, I think it'll be a good atmosphere. You're right about the football side. I think. We'll give you some respect, like we do, like every other team in the first half. You'll have a good bit of fun on the first half, but we'll give you a tough game in the second. So, for me, one thing, the question for me is just a personal one. I noticed that Paul Jules, your director of football, and what impacts it has some of that sort of maturity in the football game had on the club as a whole.
It's one of those where, you don't really know is the honest answer, because how much of an effect he has on signings. No, he never comes out and goes, oh, I signed him, everyone say thanks to me sort of thing. But I think with the management group that we've got at the moment, and it's a fairly young club, if you like, other than the owner and obviously Paul Jewell, it's kind of a young setup with, Welland's been given his second job in management. Yeah, I would say in terms of the signings, if he has played a part and had an effect, then it's going very well. Like I said, the players that we've got, the kind of I think the recruitment angle that they've gone for are players that, and Welland has made no secret of this, is picking up players, for instance, like a Lloyd Isgrove, who has struggled with injuries all his life, but no doubt can play higher. So I think, yeah, in terms of the recruitment style, they've Paul Jewell has had a big effect. And I would actually just like to touch on the sort of synergy between the two clubs. I've always, I don't know why, I've sort of always had a weird kind of soft spot for Leighton Orient.
Good lad.
I always quite like them. They always, yeah, whenever I play them, whenever, you know, we've played them in the past, I've always quite enjoyed the atmosphere. And yeah, hopefully, like I said, I think we sold out our away allocation for either the second or third game in a row, which kind of shows you what the feeling around the club is, and especially away games, which is, you know, it's never an easy one, as it's supposed to be at home.
Well, Johnny, you've got a soft spot for Leighton Orient, but I do have to put you on the spot now, because very quickly, it is time for your prediction for the weekend. What do you think the score will be?
As I said, I think we always give you a chance, so I would be surprised if we didn't concede, but the way things are going away, I kind of fancy a 3-2 thriller, I think. I think we'll go 3-2. Ooh,
3-2 to Leighton Orient. Oh, 3-2 to Swindon, you meant. Johnny, thank you for coming on. Johnny Leefield there of the Swindon Advertiser. Really great to speak to him. Before I get your predictions for this weekend, we have to quickly mention Leighton Orient women. 5-0 against Cambridge. 1-1 against Enfield last weekend. Julian, I know you want to quickly mention.
Yeah, so the knowledge has asked us to share a few bits.
Big time Brendan.
Yeah, big time Brendan. They're playing Norwich Sunday at the Brower Group. So if anyone likes to come down, kick off at 2:00. For season ticket holders and under 18s, free of charge. And otherwise, £3 entry. Get down there, guys. You know, so they're playing some great football. I think we've got a team to reckon with this season. So let's get behind the ladies in red.
£3 or free of charge. Honestly, try to get behind the team. And we're not just saying it because it is the Orient fan show. They've got a real chance to 100%. Succeed and produce this year, haven't
they?
This
very, very much so.
Very exciting times down there. Now, Lo, let's very, very quickly get your score prediction for this weekend. 3-2, a thriller Johnny just predicted there. Rob, I'll start with you. What do you think?
I think there'll be goals again. I think I predicted...
Swindon have scored 11. Orient have conceded 9.
Yeah, there's definitely goals in it. I think I predicted a cheeky Desmond last week. Got a score draw. I think I'll go the same again this week. I think 2-2.
I love that when you listen to back. Yeah, Desmond. I was the only person who realised what you were trying to say. I think there'll be a few goals. 2-1-0s.
I was going to go for 2-1-0s. Oh. I think Orient will beat Swindon this
weekend. What did you say last week? You can't never
draw.
Remember, can you?
I never remember.
I'm never listening back.
I think I said draw. I think I said 1-1. I reckon I might have said 87th minute equaliser, or they might score from a throw in. I'm not sure. It's very hazy. I don't really remember. This has been the Orient Fan Show. We'll see you next week. Yeah.
This is Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.